And I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels fell face down before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen." Can you say that? Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And all the people said,
Amen. Amen.
So we've heard the word supremacy quite a few times in the last 3 weeks. It means first place. It means number one. It means best. It means most important. I want you to help me out this morning. When I point up like this, I want you to say first. Are you ready?
First.
One more time?
First.
All right, let's keep that going here. Kids, can you help me out too? When I go like this, you say? Kids? All right. Help me out here. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were second. God knew lots of things that they didn't know. And they wanted to be, so they sinned. They did the very thing God told them not to do because they wanted to be like God. Cain killed his brother Abel because he wanted to be. Ishmael and Isaac, they had conflict because they both wanted to be. Now Jacob, this is interesting, he grabbed his brother's foot on the way out of the womb because he wanted to be first. Joseph's brothers, they threw him into a pit. They sold him to slavery in Egypt because they all wanted to be. Aaron and Miriam, they rebelled against their brother Moses, who was the leader of the children of Israel, because they wanted to be. Jonah didn't want to go to the people of Nineveh. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to come to God because he wanted his nation to be. Even Jesus, God himself, God in the flesh, couldn't stop people from wanting to be first. Do you remember his disciples? They had an argument over and over and over again. It was, who is going to be first? Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? Even Jesus' followers, while he was still here on earth, didn't get it. They wanted to be supreme. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be the most important. Even though Jesus taught them for 3.5 years something very different. No wonder we still see this in our cultures today. I heard a girl the other day say, "I like my skin color. I don't like people that have different skin color than I do." What was she saying? She's saying, "My skin color is first." I used to live in Marlboro. I had a Brazilian family that lived next to me here. And on the other side, I had an Italian family, older couple, and I was over there talking to this woman, and we were having a good conversation, and it came up about my own nationality, my own ethnicity, and I told her, "I'm half Puerto Rican, and I'm half Italian," right? And she looked right at me with a smile on her face, and she said, "The Italian part, that's the good part." I'm like thinking to myself, how am I going to respond to that? The Italian part's the good part. What does that mean about the Puerto Rican part? I still don't know what to say to that. What she was saying is, my nationality is first. My skin is first. My nationality is first. But also the way that I do things. The way I do things is better than the way you do things because it's normal to me. It's the way I do it. It's always going to be better. Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us? Well, let's see about this. We have to go back to our roots as Christians. And our roots go back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus. We're going to baptize some people today in the pools. John the Baptist, can you imagine? He was the one given the opportunity to baptize God in the flesh, Jesus. Do you remember one of the most memorable things that John said? He must increase, but I must decrease. He said, Jesus must be placed above me, and I must be placed below. Can you say that? He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. John was saying, I want to be first, but Jesus must be first. I want to be first, but Jesus must be first. So it's not about my skin. It's not about my nationality or the way I do things. It's about Jesus having first place, that in all things he might have the supremacy. That's what Colossians 1:18 says. So when you hear that word supremacy, I want you to remember Colossians 1:18, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the supremacy, that he might be first. Now, how can I see to it that Jesus has first place? Well, we can put ourselves last. Jesus explained this to us. He said that the first would be last. If we want to be first, if we want to think we have supremacy over other people, Jesus says he's going to put us at the end of the line. If you want to be first, you're going to be last. But if you put yourself last, Jesus says you will be first. How many are starting school soon? Anybody out there starting school? Let me see your hands. If you're starting school soon, you're going to have an opportunity to put yourself at the end of the line. You're going to have an opportunity to see to it that Jesus gets first place and that you end up at the end of the line. There are going to be kids in your school who are different than you. And you have an opportunity to show Christ's love to them. You have a chance to practice putting others in front of yourself. Jesus says if you do something nice for those who are the last, for those who are picked on, for those who are despised, it is like you are doing it for him. So when you see that kid at school that's different than you, I want you to see that that's like Jesus. And when you do something nice for them, it's like you're doing it for Jesus. And some of us adults can think of people who are different than us. We can think of people that we'd rather not hang around with, that we'd rather not have in our workplace. And I want to encourage you, if that's the case for you, that you would begin to see that person and see that you can help them, that you can, maybe you're not going to be best friends with them, but that you would see them as Christ would see them, that you would serve them as Christ would serve them. Because as you serve them, the least of these, you are serving Christ. So that's one thing we could do. We could put ourselves last. What else can we do? Well, we can speak up for others. Paul, he faced one of the biggest leaders in the early church, a guy named Peter. Peter had authenticity. He spent 3.5 years with Jesus. Paul didn't have that experience. But Paul went to Peter, and he stood up for the Gentile Christians. And he told Peter that what Peter was doing was wrong. Can you imagine going up to, like, the most important Christian leader that you can think of? Can you imagine if you're part of a Grigio Vadera that you'd go up to Pastor Silva and get in his face and say, Pastor Silva, what you're doing is wrong? Can you imagine someone going up to the Pope and saying, Pope, what you're doing is wrong? Think of the biggest Christian leader you can think of. Paul got in Peter's face because he was treating other people differently because of their race, because of their nationality, because of who they were. So we can speak up for others. Ask God to give us the courage to speak up for those who may not have a voice. Who are the people in your life, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, who don't have a voice, who get picked on all the time? Okay, kids, you're getting ready to go to school, and there's going to be some bullies there, and they're going to pick on people. And I'm asking you, are you going to speak up? Are you going to speak up like Christ did for those who are the least? Are you going to stand up and speak up like Paul did? So that's something else we can do. We can speak up for others. We can speak out against racism. What else can we do? Well, we can invite people into God's family. And that's why we just sang that song that we sang. Because it's God's family that's going to make a difference in this world. I wonder how many nationalities that we have here today. Obviously, we have people from the U.S. here. Obviously, we have people from Brazil here today. I want you to raise your hand. Well, how many are from the U.S.? Raise your hand. All right. You can put your hands down. How many are from Brazil? Okay. You can put your hands down. How many of you are from a nation other than the U.S. and other than Brazil? Can you raise your hand? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16, maybe I missed a few. We might have 20, 15 or 20 different nations represented here today. So this is a little taste of heaven, isn't it? How about if both of your parents were not born in the U.S.? All right. No. We got a joker up here in the front. The body of Christ is a multinational, multi-ethnic, multicolored family. And the gospel is moving like wildfire through places like Africa and Latin America. I'm told that there's an estimated 1 billion Christians in those places. 1 billion. I can't imagine that. With numbers like this, maybe we'll be speaking Spanish or speaking Portuguese in heaven or speaking or singing in those tongues in heaven. Or maybe it will be an African language. 1 out of 4 Christians today, I'm told, lives in Africa. And that's expected to jump to 40% in 15 years, 40% of the Christian community in Africa. So maybe we'll be singing an African language in heaven. I don't know. The verse that we read earlier says that every tribe and every nation will be gathered around the throne of Jesus. That's God's family. So let's invite ourselves to participate more deeply in this thing that's called God's family, where race and nations and customs fade away in the light of Jesus. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
The only hope for racial tensions in our country is for people's hearts to be changed, don't you think? Only Jesus can change people's hearts. So let's invite others into God's family where they can experience the love and grace and mercy of Jesus. Let's invite them to a place where they can drop their pain, where they can drop their prejudices, where they can drop most of all their pride and come into the family of God, where our greatest virtue should be love, where our greatest virtue should be humility.